Morning, everyone. If you'd like to go ahead and open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 31. Begin reading there this morning. Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31. C.S. Lewis has written down a lot of great commentary just on human nature and things like that. And he is coined by saying, there is a God-sized hole in man. What C.S. Lewis was trying to get across in saying that is saying that there is something that men, humans need that only God can really fulfill. There is a God-sized hole in man. Those of you who are married or if you're in a relationship or anything like that, especially we're talking about in a romantic sense, I would guess that more than likely part of the reason you're with who you are with is because that individual has shown love to you. If you've ever taken the zeal class here that we offer at this congregation, there's a lot of points that reoccur in multiple lessons. But there's one point this morning that I really want to touch on. And it is just human nature in the terms of reciprocation. When somebody loves you, it is just human nature to love back. That's why I said if you're in a romantic relationship of any level, more than likely the reason you're with that person is probably because they have shown love to you. And as a result of that, because of your human nature, you've probably reciprocated in some way. In Scripture, we're going to talk about what it means to be loved by God and what the challenges are as Christians to accept the love that He offers us. And so going with what C.S. Lewis said is there's a God-sized hole in man. That is something that only God really offers to us. In Jeremiah chapter 31, it begins by saying in the first verse, "At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people." So here the Lord says, Israel is my people. This is the people that I have chosen. This morning in the opening prayer, Brother Tim, he quoted from Peter, how Peter said, we are royal priesthood, a chosen generation, God's people. Here he's saying, these are my people who I love. You jump down to verse 3. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. So for God's people, so if we're thinking about this in the sense that we've just established, God has showed that love to you and I. It has been showed to us first. Now, whether or not we reciprocate that, whether or not we're good enough for the challenges that proposes, is what we'll find out later in the lesson. But God has shown that initial love for us. And in the Gospels, you may be interested in knowing that the word beloved, or really, honestly, just means to be loved, beloved, is only shown up 9 times in the Gospels. But every single time it has shown up, it is talking about Christ Himself, the Son of God. We're throwing in another relationship in there. The Son of God was called beloved by God in the Gospels. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus is there. And God speaks about Him to the multitudes in front of many. In Matthew chapter 12, what it reads there, read with me what it says there in verse 18. Matthew chapter 12, verse 18, it says, "But when Jesus he knew, He withdrew from there, and the great multitudes followed Him, and He healed them all. And He warned them not to make Him known, that He might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Israel, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, behold, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon Him." And this is shown up multiple times in the Gospels. As I said, when Jesus was baptized on the Mount of Transfiguration, God talked about His Son. He said, this is my Son who is beloved. He is loved because He does what I've asked Him to. And I've said this multiple times, and you all have heard me talk about this maybe a time or two, but and I don't know how many of the men here in the congregation would say they just had an absolute great relationship with their father when they were growing up in their teenage years. I won't say that mine was perfect. That'd be a lie. That being said, one of my fondest memories of my father is when he has expressed to others of how proud he is of me. And Jesus here was called beloved in front of many. And so God says he's shown that love first to his people, to Jesus himself. And in the New Testament, you find the word beloved to Christians now. So go with me to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1, reading in verse 7. Here Paul is addressing the Christians in Rome. And he says, "To who are all in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints." You're the beloved of God. You are literally called to be loved. So that we're establishing a premise here in the first 5 minutes of the lesson that God is the first one. He has been the first one to show that love. Now, whether or not we can reciprocate that, whether or not we can rise to the challenges, is the question. What are the challenges that come to being loved by God as Christians? Can we fulfill those challenges? The first thing we want to make mention of is go with me to Romans chapter 9, please, since we're already here in Romans. This is the first thing I want us to be aware of. In Romans chapter 9, you read verse 25, and we'll read there in just a second, but put this in your mind. Put this image in your mind. If, say, for instance, you got a young person here who February starts coming and rolling around, and you guys know in our day and age, that's when Valentine's Day is celebrated. So you get a young man, a young woman, or something like that, and Valentine's Day is rolling around, and maybe, and I'm not doing this to be depressing or anything like that, but maybe this young man or woman has never been shown any kind of love on Valentine's Day. There's never been somebody else to express that love to them first. And they're very sad about that. They've never had somebody come to them and show them some sort of affection and appreciation. In Romans chapter 9, you read verse 25 and 26. Here Paul is quoting from the prophet Hosea. He says, as he also says in Hosea, "I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not beloved." You need to understand, Christians, that we were called to be loved by God when nobody else would have loved us. When nobody else took the chance before that to love us, God said, "They weren't my people, but I made them my people. They were not loved, but I called them to be loved." He reads verse 26, "And it shall come to pass in the place where it is said to them, 'You are not my people,' there they shall be called the sons of the living God," just as he called Jesus himself beloved. You need to understand, brethren, what God has done for you. You were in a terrible place. You were not the children of Israel. You were not his select generation. Until Jesus had come, the gates of salvation were not open to you. But because of that, he has opened it to you, and now you can be called love. So as Peter says, you are a chosen generation. You are his people. That means something. He loved you when he didn't have to. Later on in Romans, he'll say he loved us even when we were his enemies. But he called us out of this when nobody else would love us first. It's the first thing you have to recognize. The second thing I wanted you to recognize, since you are beloved, there's a few things that you're not going to do anymore, maybe you are going to do. The first one is here found in Romans. Romans chapter 12, turn with me there. Romans chapter 12, look what it says, verse 19. Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it reads, "Beloved." Those who I'm speaking to, the Christians, Romans chapter 12, verse 19. "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.'" If you're a Christian, you're beloved. This is the first challenge you have to hurdle. You're no longer going to seek your own vengeance. You're not going to be a selfish person. You're not going to be self-centered. In this day and age, as Ed pointed out this morning, it's really easy for us to be self-centered. This world literally facilitates us to think that we're right in every way, that if somebody does us wrong, that we can take it into our own hands. But here the Lord said, Scripture says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves." That belongs to the person who loves you, to God, the one who is looking out for you. In Psalms chapter 23, a very well-known psalm there, "The Lord is my shepherd." But towards the end of that psalm, it reads, "You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies." I'm not going to take my own vengeance. There's one who provides for me, one who loved me first, who will take charge of that. You have to realize, Christians, You call yourself a Christian to be loved by God, you're not going to be self-centered. You're not going to take your own vengeance. It's the first challenge you have to hurdle. Go with me now to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. If you're still thinking about, you know, perhaps a romantic relationship, or maybe the absence of it, you think about, and this is, you know, something you may not want to think about, but some of the people in American history who have committed some of the most heinous crimes, you know, murderers, people who have taken lives, innocent lives for no reason. You look at photos of those people, and they looked like some of the most unkept people to ever live. They looked like they lived on the street, didn't take care of themselves. People who aren't loved do not typically take care of themselves. And on the flip side of that, somebody who's a Christian, maybe your romantic relationship, if somebody loves you, you're going to do your best many times to make sure that you are presentable. You know, if you're a girl, if you like makeup, then if there's a boy you like, then you may wear some makeup around him. If you're a guy, then at least you can do the very least of bathing yourself before, you know, you go talk to that girl. It's things you do so that you are presentable to the person that you want to show affection to. But the people who aren't loved may say to themselves, well, nobody loves me, so who do I have to take care of myself for? Who do I have to present myself for? But we are Christians. We are called to be loved. So this is the second challenge. You're supposed to be pure and holy. Look at what it says, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, your loved Christians, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I'm going to be clean. I'm going to be spotless of the world because I am beloved by God. That is a high calling. I'm not going to let the world tarnish me. I'm not going to let it dirty me. I'm going to be different from it because God loved me. And if you go with me, 2 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at what it says there. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. It's the same thing here being repeated. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshy lusts which war against the soul. Having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may know by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of His visitation. Also in 2 Peter chapter 3, turn over there with me, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, it reads, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14, therefore, beloved Christians, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. I'm going to present to myself to the person who loved me. I'm going to be without spot. It's a hard thing to do. To shake off worldliness. To say that I'm going to be clean for the one who loves me. But that's what it means to be a Christian. If you're loved by God, those are the things that you're going to be. So, as it stands, the things that we've already examined, you know, we're chosen by God. He's loved us first. We're going to do our best to be clean. We're going to do our best to be loved by Him. We're not going to be selfish. I think Paul alludes to these points. Go with me to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, please. I think Paul alludes to those things and what he says here, but I think he also adds on to it. Colossians chapter 2, begin reading there with me, please, verse 12. Colossians chapter 2, verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him, in the working of God who raised Him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses. I believe I'm reading the wrong verse there. Colossians chapter 1, I'm sorry. Colossians chapter 1. Reading verse 12 and 13. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints of the light, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us to the kingdom of His Son of His love. There, you know, we'll be reading, I believe I wrote down the wrong verse there. Go with me to 1 John chapter 4, please. 1 John chapter 4. there it's also echoed. First John chapter 4, verse 7 reads there, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved," addressing us who are Christians, "if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." And that's the third challenge presented to us in Scripture that I'm pointing out to you this morning. The fact that we're no longer selfish, that we ought to be holy. But if you think about somebody, maybe the way a parent teaches a child, or the way they behave around them, the way they provide for them. If a parent is good and takes care of a child and loves them and nurtures them, there's a good chance that that child, when it comes time for them, they'll be doing the same thing for their children. God said, "Because I've loved you, you now love others. You no longer love yourself, but you love others." And there's a third challenge in that. I want to be a Christian because I want God to love me. But if I'm going to be called a Christian, I'm going to have to enact these things. I'm going to have to rise to those challenges. But there are two good things that come from that. I want to assure you, brethren, go with me to Daniel chapter 9. I won't spend a lot of time on this point. I'll just read what it says there in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, Daniel raises a prayer to God in supplication. Very honest prayer that he prays to Him. In Daniel chapter 9, he prays to God of confession, supplication. And this is how God is responding to him, not necessarily of himself, but of the angel Gabriel. And it reads here what it says. "At the beginning of your supplications," this is being spoken to Daniel, "the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." If there's one point I can bring out to you, Christians, you're loved by God. He's going to hear your prayers, and you're never alone. This morning I was talking with somebody over the phone, and I told them, I realize when I'm not good, when I'm in sin, when I need to be better, God doesn't hear me. But there are times where I want to be sincere with Him, and I want God to hear my supplications. And here Daniel is being told, because he's loved, because he's risen to the challenge, God has heard his prayers. He was never alone. And lastly, brethren, go with me to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3. There's so much that can be written from this and said about this. But it says in 1 John chapter 3, starting in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we shall be called children of God, just like Jesus was called a child of God. Therefore the world does not know us because we did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself." So going back to the challenge, we purify ourselves. We want to be like Jesus at His coming. We want that eternal home. Verse 3, "just as He is pure." The one who has loved us, who has shown us that first love, is pure. So we have to be as well. As the last verse, go with me to Ephesians chapter 3, please. Ephesians chapter 3. What I'm trying to get across in this lesson, brethren, is just the fact that, you know, it's not anywhere close to Valentine's Day. It's not a lesson necessarily about romantic love. It's about the love that only God can give to us. And as C.S. Lewis put it, as I said already, there is a God-sized hole in man. Only something that He can fulfill. But if we want to be loved by Him, Are you going to rise to the challenge of what it takes to be loved by Him? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you," speaking to Christians, "according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with the might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God." I would like that. But I need to be something special. I need to be pure and holy before I can receive that. I would love to get to heaven someday, to be pure with my Father, to be pure with Christ. But I need to be something like that before. If you've heard the lesson, if you understand what it means to be pure and holy, leaving the old life behind, Christ is knocking at the door. He's tenderly speaking to you, asking you, imploring you to accept the love that has first been demonstrated to you. Will you reciprocate that this morning? Being washed in the waters of baptism, being cleansed from your sins, living a new life, a pure and holy life. And if you're a Christian, you realize you haven't been reciprocating the right way. You haven't been living up to the challenges. You can ask prayers of the congregation. You can start today making amends for the things you've done wrong. Why can't we help you this morning? Why don't you let us know while we stand and sing a song?